Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Sheba Sinha. Dr. Sheba Sinha is an Australian and British-trained specialist plastic and reconstructive surgeon practicing in Melbourne. Dr. Sinha obtained her medical degree at the University of Leeds in England. Following this, Sheba undertook a higher research degree focusing on the tissue engineering of fat at the O'Brien Institute in Melbourne and did advanced plastic and reconstructive surgery training in New South Wales and Victoria. Sheba then undertook further fellowship training in breast reconstruction at the world-renowned Queen Victoria Hospital, East Grinstead in the UK. She also undertook numerous observerships in aesthetic breast and body surgery in the UK, Europe and Australia. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of breast reduction surgery. This podcast is brought to you by DPM Financial Services. DPM is a specialist medical financial advice firm that aims to empower doctors of Australia to make the right financial decisions and achieve their financial goals. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Sheba, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thank you for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is breast reduction surgery. Sheba, can you give us a brief overview about breast reduction surgery?
Breast reduction surgery, or reduction mammoplasty, is a surgical procedure that removes excess breast, glandular and fatty tissue. And this results in a lifted breast and nipple position and an improved breast shape. Breast reduction is a procedure that has functional and reconstructive improvements. It can improve back, neck, shoulder pain, improve skin health, but it also has an aesthetic component in that the breast shape and volume is made to be more in proportion with a woman's frame. It is an operation that has a very high patient satisfaction rate, and approximately 7,000 breast reductions are done in Australia every year.
How is breast reduction surgery typically performed?
So the goal of breast reduction is to reduce the breast parenchyma and to elevate the nipple, but this keeps its blood supply on a dermoglandular pedicle. So a pedicle is a finger of tissue that carries a blood supply. And then the skin envelope needs to be redraped around the new smaller breast. In the majority of cases, it's performed under a general anaesthetic. It takes approximately 2 to 3 hours and typically involves an overnight stay. The first stage really involves the marking of the patient standing up. The surgeon will mark the midline, the breast meridian, which is where the nipple position should ideally lie, and where the ideal new position is on that patient. The surgeon will then mark the pedicle on which the nipple will survive, and this is typically in the supromedial orientation. And then the skin excision pattern is marked. And commonly, this is what is called a Wise pattern skin excision, named after the surgeon that developed it. And this produces a scar around the nipple and an anchor-shaped scar. In some cases, it's possible to do a vertical pattern skin excision, and this results in a lollipop scar. In a breast reduction, the areola diameter is also reduced, and the nipple is rotated in a new elevated position. The surgeon will also use internal sutures to improve the breast shape and to reduce the breast width. All the breast tissue that is removed in a reduction from each side is weighed and then sent for pathology.
What are some of the common reasons that women choose to undergo breast reduction surgery?
The majority of patients who are considering a breast reduction want to be relieved from the discomfort of large, heavy breasts. And this is usually something they've considered for many years. Patients generally would have had large breasts out of proportion with their frame since adolescence. And in youth, this can lead to social issues, body esteem issues, unwanted attention, unfortunately, and difficulty finding clothes that fit, tops, underwear, swimwear. Some patients also experience a increase in breast size post-menopause. The functional reasons for getting a breast reduction include wanting to improve back and neck pain, also shoulder pain, which is typically one that progresses throughout the day as bra straps dig into the skin, improvement of poor posture, and trying to alleviate skin issues such as rashes that occur in the breast fold. Patients certainly also sometimes experience limitations in exercising, difficulty in running, certain yoga positions, and swimming.
What are the benefits and risks associated with breast reduction surgery?
The benefits are the improved sense of self after achieving a reduced breast size and shape. And many patients tell me how empowered they feel after having a breast reduction and the positive effect it's had on their lives, the clothing they can wear, and they feel more like themselves because their breast volume and shape is in proportion with their frame. However, no surgery is without risks, and breast reduction is a major surgical procedure. So the specific risks can be divided into early, intermediate, or late. Early complications are those that occur within a week. They include a hematoma rate of about 1-2%, infection, wound breakdown. Nipple ischemia is a dreaded complication and results from the nipple having a poor blood supply. This is usually more common in women who need a very large reduction and where the nipple has to be moved through a much greater distance. Intermediate complications occur within 6 weeks. They include sometimes the dissolvable sutures coming out through the skin, delayed wound healing, seroma, and fat necrosis. Late complications are those that occur after 6 weeks and can include breast asymmetry, scar issues. Some patients can form hypertrophic and keloid scars. There may also be a permanent reduction in nipple sensation. And this is usually, again, in patients who've had a much larger breast reduction. As with any procedure with an aesthetic component, there can be an expectation mismatch where the patient's disappointed in their outcome, and this may require further surgical correction.
How does a plastic surgeon determine the best approach for breast reduction surgery for a patient?
The initial consultation between a patient and a surgeon is important to collaboratively achieve the best outcome. It's important to consider the motivations for surgery and also to manage expectations. A surgeon will take a detailed history with particular attention on changes of the breast during adolescence, post-pregnancy or menopause, any personal history of breast cysts or lumps, family history of breast cancer, and pregnancy history, and whether the family is complete and if they have an ongoing desire to breastfeed, as there is some potential interference with breastfeeding. In terms of examination, the surgeon will assess the patient's skin quality, location of any breast scars, piercings, the nipple position, and the ptosis or the droop of the breasts. The surgeon will then be able to determine the appropriate pedicle and skin reduction pattern. It's really important to state that it's difficult to predict a final cup size. And I feel that trying to promise a cup size usually can end up in disappointment on the patient's side. So a surgeon will be aiming to achieve a balance and a volume that is in proportion to a person's frame. In certain cases where it is obvious that a patient will need a very large reduction and the sternal notch to nipple distance is greater than 40 centimetres, then the patient should be counselling these patients of the risk of a free nipple graft.
Is there a role for breast reduction surgery in a paediatric population?
So breast reduction surgery is something that's becoming increasingly considered in patients who are below the age of 18. So the development of really large breasts, macro or gigantomastia, through puberty can have a significant psychological impact on a young girl. They have body image issues. They may have unwanted attention due to the size of their breasts, and it also limits their participation in certain sports. Secondly, through the avenue of social media, breast reduction surgery is being increasingly popularized in this under 18 cohort. My advice really for GPs who see potentially a young girl under the age of 18 who wants a breast reduction is to listen to their concerns and assess the degree of psychological distress. And it's something that should ideally be referred to a plastic surgeon, both in either the public system or the private system. There are two public hospitals in Melbourne, the paediatric centres, that do accept referrals for breast reduction in patients who are under 18. There they'll be assessed by a surgeon over a couple of consults. This is certainly something that needs more than one conversation with both the patient and their relatives in order for a young girl to understand the potential implications of breast reduction surgery in terms of scars, the effect on nipple sensation, and the future effect on breastfeeding, which are probably things that someone who's in their 15 or 16 year olds are not going to necessarily consider. It would then be up to the plastic surgeon, who would assess the level of psychological distress, whether that patient would benefit from a psychology referral. And it's all part of that multidisciplinary management for a young patient considering this type of surgery. So pediatric breast reduction is a very specific cohort of patients that we do encounter, but it's one where the potential positive benefits over a lifetime can be quite significant for that patient if appropriately counselled.
Have there been any developments in this type of surgery in the last few years, or are there any in trials or development now?
Breast reductions performed today are done in a relatively standardised fashion, with most surgeons using a supromedial pedicle and a wise pattern skin reduction, as this has been shown to have a better blood supply to the nipple. This compares to about 20 years ago, where commonly the inferior pedicle was used, but the longer term results of this demonstrated the breasts having a boxy or bottomed out appearance. Liposuction only breast reduction can be used in very select cases where there's only a moderate breast enlargement, with patients who have a good skin quality and minimal ptosis of the nipple. And so the fat only can be removed, but it is unpredictable to predict the degree of skin tightening, and there's certainly no lifting of the breast. More and more surgeons are moving towards drainless breast reductions. Drains have been shown not to reduce the hematoma rate. This allows the patient, technically, if they feel well enough, to go on the same home on the same day of surgery, but this is obviously surgeon and patient specific.
What can patients do to prepare for the surgery?
Patients can do a number of things to optimize the result from a breast reduction and maintain the longevity of the result. The first thing really is weight management. I would counsel that a patient should be at their ideal goal body weight. If weight needs to be lost, ideally, we would want this weight to be stable for at least 6 months. Furthermore, it's been shown that patients who have a BMI over 35 have up to a twofold increase in wound healing complications. Furthermore, weight gain post-surgery will just cause the breast size to increase again. Smoking and vaping cessation is also important for at least 6 weeks prior to surgery, as this can also lead to a decrease in the blood supply to the skin and result in wound healing complications. If patients are on blood thinners or over-the-counter supplements such as fish oil, evening primrose oil, or St. John's wort, they also need to be ceased 7 days prior to surgery. Furthermore, any patient who's aged over 40 or younger, if they've got a family history of breast cancer, should be sent for a pre-operative mammogram just to rule out any unsuspected breast problems prior to any procedure.
What can patients expect during the recovery process after the surgery?
Breast reduction surgery is not particularly painful. Most surgeons will use a local anaesthetic that will last for a few hours, and patients can be discharged either on the day of the surgery or the day after with analgesia and antibiotics. Patients are told to wear a soft, non-wired bra to support their reduction for up to 6 weeks. Initially, the breasts will feel swollen, slightly firm, and they'll be sitting higher on the chest. It takes about 3 months for the breast to settle and soften in their new position. Bruising of the skin and nipple is normal in the initial few weeks, and patients do experience a change in nipple sensation. Commonly, there is a loss of sensation, but this improves after 6 weeks. However, in certain patients who have a very large reduction, the nipple sensation is permanently reduced. In very rare cases, some patients also report an increased or oversensitive nipple. Each surgeon will have their own protocol for scar management, but it's likely to include both scar and breast massage, taping of the scar using either micropore or a silicone-based tape for about 6 weeks. In terms of return to activity, most patients will need about 2 weeks off work, depending on the demands of their job. I encourage patients to begin gentle mobilization soon after surgery. However, there's a decreased activity level for about 6 weeks for heavy lifting and other more strenuous types of exercise. Driving is usually when it's comfortable to put on a seatbelt and when the patient feels they can make an emergency stop. That's usually around the 7 to 10 day mark.
What advice do you have for GPs in terms of referring or assisting patients for breast reconstruction surgery?
I do recommend that patients see a GP prior to seeking a breast reduction. GPs have a holistic view of a patient's health, and they may be able to institute some of the weight management and smoking cessation initiatives that would improve the breast reduction outcome. GPs are also able to advocate for their patients and refer them to a surgeon where they can discuss their breast reduction goals that will help and empower the patients to make a decision. This is particularly important for those patients who have functional issues such as back, neck pain, and skin issues, as they are considered functional breast reductions where there is a medical improvement in these symptoms. And this is important as the patient will be able to have a rebate from Medicare or health insurance funds.
Thank you for your time here today in the Pod MD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the 3 key take-home messages from today's podcast on breast reduction surgery?
Yeah, breast reduction is a procedure with functional benefits, but has an aesthetic side effect. Secondly, breast reduction results can be optimized by having a stable ideal body weight and smoking cessation prior to surgery. I would also state that patients not willing to accept scars on their breast or any effect on their nipple sensation should probably not consider breast reduction.
Thanks again for your time and the insights you've provided.
Thank you for having me.